The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. We've got a little catching up to do. Because we always want to maximize our time with Uncle Uber Driver, Steve the Homer True. So, Tausch, your concern level with the Bears' run game without Devontae Wyatt available is what?
Hi. To me, it's the only formula that gives Chicago a really good opportunity, other than obviously creating tons of turnovers, which is, their formula is creating turnovers and running the ball down people's throats.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Green Bay has proven they're not a turnover operation.
They are not.
That's not something that we do typically. Now, I would guess Chicago's going to be ultra-aggressive in trying to do that. And, Jordan has, not recently, but early in the season, gotten away with a few.
For sure.
The stats are the stats. And what does he have, three picks on the year? He has been
three picks.
Awesome.
I think they only have seven total turnovers.
So, and he had a strack or two. I think there's the one strack, obviously the big one in the Dallas game before the half. But he has been really good protecting the football. So I think the way Chicago is going to be able to move the football will be that route. Jeff Hafley knows that. And if I am doing this, I am going to play a lot of man, and I am going to let Evan Williams really be aggressive and making sure he is filling and coming down. He has proven to be a great run stopper. And I sent you guys that little clip of Ben Johnson talking about that's the best safety tandem in the league.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Okay, it's on the show sheet. Well, that's where I think you look at and say, well, that's a big difference from what we've seen the Green Bay Packers in the past. So can we hold up front? Brian is 100% right with his assessment of the interior part of Chicago's offensive line. Joe Thuney is a champion, man. You talk about left guard wins losses. I don't know if there's a left guard with more Super Bowl championships than Joe Thuney. He's fantastic, and he's still playing at a high level. So all of those things factor in, but I do know this. If Green Bay is good against the run and limits them to about three a carry and don't give up any big chunk plays, I don't know what the formula for the Chicago Bears on offense will be with a quarterback that's completing the ball at only a 59% clip.
We're going to call an audible here. Usually Homer joins us in the third segment of the 10 o'clock hour, but since we're late, we've been doing this with Domofsky lately, too, on Fridays. I think it's worked better. So we're going to talk to Uncle Homer next.
Homer does usually bank on me calling him at 10:40, so we'll see what ends up happening.
So do you think we shouldn't do this?
No, I don't. I think we should stick to our plan and call him at the usual time. But you're in the command chair.
I feel like
Jason how great he is,
Captain Wilde. If you want to steer the ship this way, we'll see what happens.
He's a good, he's a good ship steerer, isn't he? He does a great job.
Yes, he is.
You guys are full of ship.
Indeed.
I would just like to say that I just want to hear from Tausch on Coors Light, and then we'll figure out what we're doing next after that.
All right, and whether you're tailgating pregame, waiting for Homer's hit on our show, celebrating a big Wisconsin victory over Marquette this Saturday, crack open a Rocky Mountain cooled Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and it is cold packaged. So it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We will see if Uncle Homer is available, if he banks on the 10:40 call or not. I do the same thing, in fairness, when Brian Bulaga is on the Homer Hour and John Anderson is on the Homer Hour. I anticipate the call from them around 5:20, 5:22. So I get it. On Wednesdays, when Homer's on his own, I plan on him calling at 5:15. But maybe we'll have Homer, or we can hear from Ben Johnson, not doing the awkward, sure is fun to beat Matt LaFleur twice a year, but rather talking about the Packers' safety play. One or the other is next. Stick around to find out.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
right. Whatever you do, so this is the gray area we find ourselves in musically. Because this is signature music if there's ever been any. I hope that Duke Tomato doesn't require royalties because I love this song. Because it means it's time for Steve the Homer True. Homer, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm fine. I don't understand this at all.
Okay.
Which part?
I've never given one second of thought or caring much about the music relative to someone's show or segment. I mean, there's a preference, but it's about as important as which pair of socks.
Homer, you complain all the time if we didn't put Duke Tomato on.
I don't believe that's true.
It is true. You got mad about it.
Well, I don't know what the specifics were. I'm sure you're distorting them. The premise is, if for example,
that's not nice, Steve.
If for example, you had to pay something, and they say like, "Whoa, Homer," and go like, "I wouldn't pay a penny." So if there's no charge, there's a preference over another. But if you said, for example, "Well, on our show, we're not doing an intro music," I'd go, "Fine. Your show, do whatever you want."
Sure.
You ask my preference, I have one, but if it costs you a half a cent, then don't do it.
Okay.
If the muse, never mind. Okay, onward.
Yeah, that's.
It's just a nice little accoutrement to all the other little parts that make the show fun. That's all.
Little is good. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Homer, how are you feeling going into Packers Bears?
I feel odd because I'm looking, and I don't really count the Minnesota game because they're a mess, but you just have four games now, and I want to see how they do, and what's important is how they do over the four games. They could lose this one and win the next three. They could win this one and lose the next three. This is a great test to me of how good they are, and you can't fake it over four games. And we can look. They win three games. Three of these four, and they're going to be a legitimate contender to get to, I don't know if I win the Super Bowl, but a Super Bowl a player.
Sure.
And not, which three doesn't matter. So we kind of, I'm just so odd because everybody thinks, not everybody, but two people think it's important for the Bears-Packers rivalry that both teams are good. I am incapable of comprehending that. I don't know why you wouldn't want the other team to stink. The greatness of the Packers presents the largest audience by far. What would make it easier for the Packers to win if the Bears suck? And more stories are told, bigger stories. People care about everything when the Packers are good. What makes it easier for the Packers to be good? That the Bears suck. But that's not apparently how other people see it. So be it. But I can't comprehend it.
Jason doesn't feel that way. And Homer, I want you to know.
John Anderson agreed with him. Two people whose opinions I very highly respect. And
all right.
I can't comprehend it, but so be it. That's
because they're storytellers, Steve. They're not interested.
Matter.
They're not
the
fans.
Stories are way better when the Packers.
No, stories are better when
people
it's competitive. Come on.
No.
Stories are
you
better when they're competitive.
No. Not to the people reading the stories. You're just wrong.
No.
The numbers show you the greatest interest is when the team kicks butt.
What numbers?
The numbers of the new number.
Hey, Homer,
from Duke Tomato.
Homer, hold up 1 second, Homer.
The radio stations. When are our ratings the best? When the Packers dominate.
If it's no, that's not even true. It's not even true. No, it's not. And by the way, if
you.
Yeah, go ahead. Check your downloads
anything,
and everything else when people call. Homer.
Correct, yes.
How on earth? Hold up 1 second. Let me finish, and then I will give you the floor. You're telling me that in the grand scheme of things, it is better for a blowout win by the Packers for the radio that covers it for post games, or is it better when the Bears and Packers go down to the last minute of the game and everybody's sitting there on chewing their nails watching You think it's more entertaining and better and more ratings if it's a route? Do you hear yourself?
No, I apologize for thinking you actually would listen to me.
The I did listen.
Greatness is determined by how good the team is. Yes, a particular
you said
team,
people are more interested in ratings, is what you just said.
When the team is good and when they dominate, not in one game, but over the season. How could the Packers be the best team by crushing the Bears every time they play? Increases their chances to be really good. When the team is really good and the team wins, the audience grows. People want stories about a 12-4 team. They don't give a damn about what they did against the Bears. The big picture is winning. The more you win, the more stories there are that people care about. It isn't about whether I like the story. It's about what people want. People want stories about winners. And it's easy to win when the Bears suck.
But they haven't played the game yet. And leading into the game, it's way more interesting about how this game is going to play out because the Bears are 9-3. And they may still suck, to quote you. And the Packers may sweep them and sweep them right into reality that they're not as far along with all their one-score wins and their wins over teams starting backup quarterbacks as they think they are in Chicago right now. I don't know what's going to happen. But the fact that you – I will give you this. When Matt LaFleur is going 11-0 against the Bears – and it feels like there are two automatic wins on the schedule, which was the case until the loss in the regular season finale. It is nice to feel that way. But it's not as interesting, and I'd be curious if our fans agree with you, because I do think you make a valid point that it's fun when the Bears stink to be able to hold that over your Bear fan friends. I have no doubt about that. But
that isn't part of my opinion at all.
What is it then? I don't understand.
I don't even know what his opinion is. He's changed it three times now.
No, you've heard it three different ways, which doesn't surprise me.
Burn. Good one, Homer. Well, what is your opinion? Now that you've been able to bounce it around seven times, what is your actual opinion on this?
On this game?
Oh, of the rivalry, of the game, of
winning,
I don't know what you're even trying to say.
That matters. Winning creates the greatest audience, created some more interest in the papers, creates in our business. We want more people to follow what we do. They follow when the Packers win and are great.
Right.
Homer, let me ask you this, Jason, quickly. We do a post-game show.
Yes.
Don't fake strangle me, Jason. I saw you. Is it more? Are the phone lines lit up in more passion after a 20-point win against the Vikings or a 6-point loss against the Panthers?
Depends on one if you're on.
No. We just lived it. We literally just lived it. What was it? We just
so
lived
far,
it.
And
we do the show together. What was it?
In the example of those two, what were the two again?
Panthers,
are you
Vikings.
Filibustering?
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to say because his points have been refuted so bigly.
Don't ever confuse number and intensity of callers to audience. Those are two different things. Winning creates greater audiences. For a specific game, you may have a good audience that week relative to the rest. The overall relative will be lower when teams lose over the course of the season.
Okay. Leading into the game, which is what we're doing right now because the game is on Sunday.
You like to do it in a more numerical way. Your team wins, you average a 10. When the team loses, you average a 5. But you might get a 10 when you have that game that you spoke of where people are upset about a loss.
Sure.
Yeah. I find it very hard to believe empirically that there is less interest in this matchup with the one team being 9-3 and one being 8-3-1 than there is when the Packers have steamrolled them time after time again, and going into the game you're just like, oh, another Packers win over the Bears, I own you, I still
matter
own
fact,
you all that stuff
matter of fact, Jason, Homer has said that the Packers-Bears rivalry was dead. And I think, Homer, what did you say? It was the same as playing. You made some comment last year, and I was very upset with you because that streak was going. LaFleur wasn't losing to the Bears. And you said that was the same amount of a game as if they were playing. I want to say you said the Panthers, but
like
maybe it was a different team.
Jacksonville or somebody, yeah.
Jacksonville. Sure. Yeah. You made some comment like it's the same. And I said, no, it's not, because of the history and the geography. And nope. So, I don't know. Do you still feel that way?
The importance of the rivalry is vastly overrated relative to the importance of winning. You lose two to the Bears. Doesn't matter if you go 13-3 and you get to the NFC Championship game. Irrelevant. Just two games. They're more important because it's in the division. And, yes, this is a much bigger game, because it's more amusing. More entertaining is the word I've used in previous games. Not more important, more entertaining. Yes, there's more entertaining in this game, and it has totally to do with the Bears. Only because the Bears have sucked for so long, it is now more entertaining because they're decent. That's entertaining. Mm. More important is a different story.
All right, Homer. So
where do you have this rivalry? Is it back?
What? Ask somebody else.
Jason. Ask somebody.
No, the answer to me.
Who do you got back there?
It's always been.
Who do you have back there? Who? Can you who's in your car?
So,
are you asking me?
Yes, you said ask
you
somebody
just
else.
Said ask
he was asking
else.
Who else might be with you. Talking with Steve the Homer True on Wildy and Towns.
All right, dog from hell. That's the only thing that's with me now.
What is it again? What kind of dog is it again?
Yorkie.
Yeah, the dog from hell. So, Homer, let's just talk about the game then and not the perception
of it. I'm fired up about the game. Yep. But from a football standpoint, it's very
– Sounds like it.
Yep.
So, they're a little bit like – they're a little bit like the Vikings were last year, and I want to make sure I give credit to someone in the YouTube comments who made a similar observation. But, like, they've won a bunch of close games. They've got a really good record. I'm not sure how good they are. I know they take the ball away at a high rate, and I know they've run the ball really well.
They're not good as their record.
So that's exactly where I'm going then. So in terms of your concern level, where is it for this game? Because I do think your point about winning three of the next four, whichever those are, again, the Packers finish with Bears Sunday, at Denver, at Chicago, home against the Ravens, and then at Minnesota. Those are the five remaining games left on their schedule, starting with Sunday's game against the Bears at Lambeau. So how concerned are you about this matchup? And will we be back to talking about your it's more fun when you kick the Bears' tuckuses after the game when the Packers win 31-14?
No, I understand that there's more entertainment. There are a couple of things. One, the Bears clearly aren't as good as their record is, and which would tend to believe that they'll lose early in the playoffs. They make the playoffs. There is one issue, though, and that's Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson, not Dan Campbell, owned the Packers. Ben Johnson in Detroit, they beat the Packers. With no Ben Johnson, hadn't gone so well for Dan Campbell. Check the numbers.
That's
5-1
true.
It's true. The Packers. And now we'll see Ben Johnson and see how good he is. I don't really care about the Bears because I just care about the Packers. I want to see if they can defend the run, which they did against Detroit in the big plays of the game. But they clearly have to do that better, given what the Bears did. And then just the Packers as a team. I'm just watching them, and can they continue to show us that they're getting better and they could lose this game and still show that? And so everything is relative to me about I have a little more confidence in the Packers thinking they can continue doing this. And if those other things show up, then you'll reassess. But the Packers should be a player, and now we're just going to see where they put themselves in at the end of the regular season, because we know if they're a 6 or 7 seed, sucks.
6-7. Yep.
Taush, anything else you'd like to do?
I'm still trying to learn what that
no,
is.
No, I think we've
that's
covered
like,
it with
like
Homer
500.
Today. Oh, I'll ask this. Homer, you guys,
am
you
I
guys
am
just
I done?
barely got by Valpo last night. Is this
going to
be an entertaining game on Saturday, or are the Badgers going
to? I was going to call in sick if they lost. I just want to let you know. I was trying to think of an excuse. If they lose, go.
Well, your dog. Just bring up your dog
from hell.
Nobody can argue with the dog.
I don't know a dog. You go
family.
No,
the dog.
I'd come up family. Family, then dog.
Well, the dog is family.
I think that might rank right up there, family. Yeah, I guess that's true. I need to learn that.
Yeah, we would have given you a pass with the dog.
Okay.
Is Saturday going to be a bloodbath, or is this thing going to be competitive?
How close is competitive? I think it'll be generally it is, but I bet Wisconsin's favored by 8-10. Okay. I expect it to be competitive, but it would be a huge win if Marquette could pull it off. They will be a significant underdog. So. What more would you like?
I think that's good.
No, but my life would be a lot better if they did. And I just want to let you know. I want to thank. Who do I have to thank the most? The freshman James or baby? Because do you know what? Did any of you give any consideration to what my life would have been like this morning if they had lost to Valpo?
I had not given any consideration to that.
Not even a little bit.
I figured you'd say Homer's got to be so happy because I can't imagine how he would have felt.
Congratulations.
Homer,
it's a good win.
I look forward to
it. I didn't mention, and I should have, there's an immense rivalry between Valpo and Marquette. I apologize for not bringing that up.
I look forward to the awful announcing rankings of all the best college basketball radio tandems and seeing where you and Tony land. We appreciate your time, buddy. Thank you.
He hung up.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
yeah, he's been gone. Did you have any concept of what the hell he was talking about in the beginning of this hit?
I think he is trying to argue that it's just better for Packers fans that the Bears still suck can be the chant and it be accurate, and the fact that the games are going to be theoretically more competitive and they're creeping up on the Packers and it could be finally where both teams are good at the same time is a narrative that people like me care about, but the fans just don't. They're not more interested. They're interested, in his opinion, the same amount, whether the Bears are terrible or the Bears are good and there's more at stake. I think that's his hypothesis. I don't know if I agree with it.
The only part, I thought Homer brought up a really good point, which I had a hard time deciphering through the first 12 minutes. I couldn't make that claim, but his Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson point I thought was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. That
Packers
was a very
could
interesting
not beat
point.
The Ben Johnson-led offense of Detroit. Now he's down in Chicago. Do they have the horses? I don't believe so, but we shall see.
We'll talk more about that coming up. We also have trivia to get to. I still don't fully understand exactly what the point was there, but I do understand that Prize Picks is the place that Jesse and Tausch love to go to win, like the Bears rarely have done in the past, winning.
Mm-hmm. And it's the holiday season. It's the best time of the year for sports. You got bowl games, basketball matchup, playoff pushes. It's all happening, and it's all happening on Prize Picks. Simplest way to play daily fantasy. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds. Choose more or less on two-player stats. Get them right. Cash in. And you get new this season is early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, cash out before the game even ends. And with stacks, you can pick the same player up to three times in one lineup. Like if you think J.J. McCarthy is going to throw one pick, two pick, three pick more. Or you can go Steph Curry points, threes, assists. You want to go Giannis. Rebounds, assists, blocks, whatever it is, you can do that on Prize Picks. Deposits are fast and easy with Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good
to be right. I want to explore Homer's point about Ben Johnson. We'll do that more next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
So, Tausch. Mm-hmm. We credited Homer with a really good point. If you missed him, or apparently some people left the YouTube comments during Homer's segment, which I think you missed out. So that, you know, do what you want. Not here to judge, but his point about Ben Johnson also makes sense because of Ben Johnson's very awkward direct shot at Matt LaFleur in his introductory press conference then. Did Ben Johnson kind of think of himself as the head coach while he was with the Lions? I mean, he's the offensive play caller. He's got some ego there.
I don't think so. Oh, he's got big ego. Yeah, you don't become an NFL head coach without a big ego. And he's proud. He's not only proud of his old town, he's proud of the offense that he put together and the aggressive nature and the high octane that they put out in his time.
Yeah.
And why he said what he said about the passing game and then backtracked very quickly is because he knows they don't have that right now in Chicago. He knows they don't have Goff. They don't have an Amon St. Brown. They don't have the tools yet to execute a passing game the way that he did in Detroit. So that is why I think he's backtracked. And I don't know how. I don't know where his confidence level is. I'm sure he thinks they can win. But I don't think he doesn't have that same, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It's not cojones, but it's that aura.
Moxie.
I know that our offense is going to have a day because he knows he doesn't have the horses that he had up in Detroit. So he deserves a ton of credit. For him to turn this around this quickly, I don't care about point differential or anything else. He's won a lot of games. Do I think that the Bears are Super Bowl contenders right now? I don't. Do I think that if they can find a way to beat the Green Bay Packers, they believe they can be? Yes. And that's why I think Sunday's such a big game.
All right, so I've already acknowledged once today that I was unaware of something. I did see, obviously, what Ben Johnson had said about winning in spite of their passing game. You said twice there that he has backtracked on that. Why?
Yeah, he backed up yesterday, and I think he realized that what he said, it wasn't like a big boy backtrack, but it was some small beeps. It wasn't like a garbage truck.
Sure.
It was more like a, you know, you get those snowplow trucks, and it's like a little lighter light, and it's a little less of a beep.
Uh-huh.
That's what I would say it is.
Mm. Okay. I am curious to see what Matt LaFleur has to say. He'll be speaking here shortly at Lambeau Field. We'll update you on anything that he says there. Tausch will update you on After Giving Tuesday, the great project that he and the AmFam Children's Hospital and Sarah and everybody there are on top of with AmFam.
Yeah, and we have another hour left. We're going all the way till noon. I always say midnight. For our $5,000 match, we are close to having it complete, just from Sarah and I, and we're chipping away at the $50,000 that we need to get so American Family Insurance will match and get it all the way up to $100,000 to the American Family Children's Hospital. All donations go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of children and families across the country. Again, that's amfamkids.org to donate today. amfamkids.org.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
11 o'clock hour eventually. Tausch, before we do, you mentioned that there was a vibe that maybe everybody's playing nice here between the Packers and the Bears, like not ratcheting it up, the rivalry.
It's so funny when you do that.
Glad you're entertained.
I know it's radio, but
Hey, no, we're on YouTube, and that's why we have royalty-free music.
So it does feel that way because I think Green Bay's got a little air of confidence about themselves. Mm-hmm. And the Bears, they beat us the last time we played them, even though it was a game we didn't really need anything for. And they're cautious. I really think they have been gutted so many times by the Green Bay Packers when they feel like they've been good that they don't want to get their hearts broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're cautiously optimistic, but they're not completely jumping in. And they're waiting to see kind of how Sunday goes. That is the vibe I'm
getting. So to your point about being nice, Ben Johnson was at the podium yesterday at Halas Hall and was saying nice things about the Packers' defense and specifically their safety play. Like Evan Williams. I don't know. I haven't listened to this yet, so I'm going to listen to it with everyone else as we play it. I don't know if he compares Evan Williams to Micah Hyde like Micah you so Hyde. Expertly did, but we'll have to wait
that
and listen.
Was really well done.
Yeah, here we go. Here's Ben Johnson.
I think these safeties is probably the two best safeties that we've seen all year long. They're extremely active in the run game. They're all over the field, and so we've got a tall task here at hand.
Well, that's nice that he says that. I don't know who the safeties are that they faced earlier this season. But that's nice. He's saying nice things about the Packers, to your point. Choosing instead to avoid the, it sure is fun beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Yeah, I always say it's a lot easier to talk and to say, well, I'm going to hold out and I'm going to do all this. Everything's easier in March, April, May, June, July. When things start getting close, you have to actually go out and do. Things change a little bit, but I said this yesterday. Our tandem at safety is as good as it's been since Nick Collins' era, 2009, 10, 11. Like, it just is.
Mm-hmm.
And that group runs support, creating turnovers. It's a and I think everybody has given Micah Parsons a huge amount of credit and very much deserve it.
Yeah.
Because what he's done has made their jobs a heck of a lot easier. But they're still going out and playing at a really high level. So you have three levels of this defense you feel really good about, and that's why fans are excited, and that's why this team is going to win or lose a championship more than likely because of their defense. The defense will be the catalyst for how far this team goes. And right now, this is a really good defense, so you feel really good about how far this team can go.
All right. So you said yesterday that you were nervous about some Bucks-related possibilities.
Yeah. Still am.
Well, you may be more nervous after you hear something that Windy... Because we love Windy on this show. He's our...
Windy's the goat.
He's the guy, right? What he said on ESPN Cleveland, we're going to play at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. I would say it's a little concerning. Again, I don't love to play this game. You know that. I feel like the NBA has become too much about, oh, what's going to happen next? But this is in season with the Bucks reeling. We'll play it for you next after I tell you that you should tune in to Behind the Bucks.
Bucks Plus.
The Bucks Plus.
That's well done.
Presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Locked In, narrated by Bucks legend Marcus Johnson, takes you inside this team's pursuit for another championship.
You can
find behind the Bucks. Would you stop interrupting? You can find behind the Bucks
what are you
on
swearing about so much too. A lot of swearing.
What?
Hell yeah. He just said, hell yeah.
You swore twice in one sentence in 9 o'clock
what are you,
hour.
What are you, Bruce?
Yeah, but I was mad.
I'm mad that Giannis is going to leave.
That's paying off a tease too early.
We don't know that. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. Matt LaFleur is at the podium. We will hear from Brian Windhorst on ESPN Cleveland next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.